From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the next portion of a message called Caleb, part of his series in the book of Joshua. The text is found in chapter 14 and in portions of chapter 15, where we find the record of a man who was distinguished for his faith in the promises of God. Caleb was one of the 12 men chosen to spy out the land of Canaan, but only he and Joshua had brought back an encouraging report, whereas the other 10 discouraged the heart of the people and resulted in the 40 years of wilderness wandering and the deaths of all who were 20 years old and upward. At that time, God had given Caleb a promise of inheritance in the land. Now, at the age of 85, Caleb requested of Joshua permission to possess his inheritance. The first thing we learned about Caleb was his total consecration to God. His testimony was that I wholly followed the Lord my God. Then we've seen Caleb's discipleship, for he was also a man who walked after God, living a life of faithful obedience to his heavenly Father. Furthermore, Caleb walked for God. He was an example and a testimony to those around him. Caleb's courage characterized both his youth and his old age. He displayed fearlessness in the face of powerful enemies, and even in the face of his own countrymen. Caleb was a man who had the courage of his convictions, no matter what the opposition. Dr. Cairns will continue the message shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. We may understand this to refer to justification. They shall walk in white, that is, they shall enjoy a constant sense of their own justification by faith. They shall understand that the righteousness of Christ is imputed to them, that they have all been washed and made whiter than the newly fallen snow. Again, it refers to joy and gladness, for white robes were holiday dresses among the Jews. They who have not defiled their garments shall have their faces always bright. They shall understand what Solomon meant when he said, Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart. Let thy garments be always white, for God hath accepted thy works. He who is accepted of God shall wear white garments of joy and gladness, while he walks in sweet communion with the Lord Jesus. Whence so many doubts, such misery and mourning? It is because so many believers defile their garments with sin and error, and hence they lose the joy of their salvation and the comfortable fellowship of the Lord Jesus. They do not here below walk in white. The promise also refers to walking in white before the throne of God. Those who have not defiled their garments here shall most certainly walk in white up yonder, where the white-robed hosts sing perpetual hallelujahs to the Most High. They shall possess joys inconceivable, happiness beyond a dream, bliss which imagination knoweth not, blessedness which even the stretch of desire hath not reached. The undefiled in the way shall have all this, not of merit nor of works, but of grace. They shall walk with Christ in white, for He has made them worthy. In His sweet company, they shall drink of the living fountains of waters.
Thank you.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
I do believe that the Church of Christ has too often given up great areas of the nation because of fear. I think there is a fear of the academics of America. There's a fear of the pseudoscientists of America. There is a fear of these very learned people who sit in the ivory towers of their universities and they pontificate on all sorts of things. There is an evidence of that fear in the way that Christian scholars even respond to these people. I have often said, and I know this puts me among the spiritual Philistines as far as many are concerned, but I still believe it, that when the Church of Christ is forced back upon its methods of apologetics, it's thrown into all these philosophies for defending the faith, it is usually an indication that it has lost the spiritual power of God. You see, when the gospel is preached in the power of the Holy Ghost, you don't need any apologetics to win the day. You don't need any philosophers to come along to help your arguments. When men preach the gospel in the power of the Holy Ghost, there is nothing can stop their preaching. They fear nobody, and they have no need to fear anybody, because God is with them. They come not with the sword and the spear and the shield of worldly wisdom, but they come in the name of the Lord of hosts. Paul the Apostle, when he went to Corinth, said he went there feeling his weakness, but determined to do nothing among them, save Christ and Him crucified. The doctrines of the grace of God, preached in the power of God, will overcome every foe. They will overcome every stronghold. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In the realm of Christian apologetics, there has been for the last half century a great debate. I'm not going to try and get into that debate or even explain it to you today. But I have a great admiration for the stand and the statements of the late Dr. Cornelius Van Til. And again, I dare not try to explain, especially in a few minutes, the deep and tremendous thought of Van Til, in many ways the leading apologist of his day. But if there's one thing that a Christian learns from reading the great man's writings, it's this: don't think that you will overcome the unbelief of the skeptic by rational argument. Now, this is coming from one of the greatest reasoners and philosophers in the world in his day. Don't think that's how you'll win them. Don't think that we share a body of common ground with the mind of the ungodly, a body of common facts, and if we can only make them see the facts, that they will get right with God. He's saying that is not true. Men are enemies of God. Their minds are blinded to God's truth. They are willfully ignorant. The greatest use of logic is to show the illogicality of the so-called logical statements of those who reject the gospel. But this was the nub of Van Til's thinking. Christians should go out fearlessly and preach the gospel, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Go out and preach the gospel. We serve the living God. We serve the risen Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Let us preach that gospel. And remember, it is God who enlightens the mind. It is God by His Spirit who renews the will. It is God who effectually calls the sinner. It is God who regenerates the dead soul. It is God who gives life through the preaching of the gospel. So let us preach the gospel without fear. Let us storm the battlements of the strongholds of the devil without fear. Let us not think we are poor, we are puny, we are small, we are few. These things may be true, but they don't touch the subject or the issue, which is our God is omnipotent. That's what Caleb felt. He faced the fiercest foes without fear. God give us that kind of courage. Courage that sees the strength of the opposition, but sees the greatness of our Redeemer. Caleb's courage was seen just as conspicuously in his own nation when he stood alone and proclaimed faith in the presence of unbelief. Sometimes that's the greatest courage we have to show. I'm thinking of a Baptist brother, our brother Dr. Rod Bell. Rod told me himself, he said, when I came back some years ago from Ulster, I was introduced to the subject of revival in a biblical sense. Not a Wednesday to Sunday meeting or a Sunday to Wednesday meeting, but I was burdened to pray as I met with men who were praying for revival. I was burdened to pray for revival. He started back in the States to preach on revival and praying for revival. He said, I had Baptist pastors, my brethren, who came to me and warned me how I was going wrong. Can you imagine it? But he was warned that that was not something that they would stand for. I'm glad that Rod told them, I will pray for revival and I will preach for revival. And I will wait for revival, whether fundamental Baptist brethren are with me or against me. God honored that stand, and 3 years ago, in a 6-month-long movement of the Spirit of God, they saw, the last count I knew, almost 1,000 people saved. And you had heathens, Hindu doctors from the local hospital coming in crying, I need to be saved. You're seeing a move of God, a blessed answer to prayer. But I want to tell you, it took grace and courage to proclaim faith in the face of unbelief. We read the words of the psalmist concerning the Israelites, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. That's what was happening at Kadesh Barnea. They were turning back in unbelief. But with Joshua, there was just one man standing saying, we have seen it, and the land is one we can take. Then when he did come into the land, he showed his courage in that he fought the battles of the Lord with Joshua. Now this is too big a subject for me to do more than mention. It is very easy to be an armchair critic. It's very easy to be an armchair soldier. I mentioned before to you, and I know that this is controversial in America because of a lot of disinformation and misinformation that you've received from biased histories. And of course, my history is not biased, you'll know that. But I have told you many a time that one of the biographies I have most enjoyed was the biography of Britain's late Field Marshal Lord Montgomery. Whatever you think about his quirky ways, and he had them, one thing that he came out in that biography that was alarming when he was placed in charge of, I think, the Southern Command in England. And then when he was later placed in charge of, by General Eisenhower, of planning the Normandy invasions, he found that the defense of England was in the hands of professional generals who had been to school, but they had never been to war. They had never commanded an army in the field. And when the real professional came in and he looked at their plans and for the first time saw what was being proposed, he could hardly believe it. I think that's so true in the Church of Christ at times. It's so easy for people to sit in a chair and say what they think should be done. But the battles of the Lord are real battles, and there are battles of the Lord that must be fought, and they must be won. Under Joshua, our greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the call for God's people today is to have the courage of their convictions. And not simply to be silent witnesses. I really don't know how you can be a silent witness. I know that you don't always have to be a vocal witness, but your testimony and your stand cannot be silent. To have the courage of conviction, to have our Joshua before us, to follow him and to fight in his train. The battles of the Lord. There are many battles. And can I suggest to you, if I understand this Bible aright, and I believe in this, I do, the greatest battle of this age is the battle with religious apostasy. Let us not be in any doubt about it.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.